Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 18 of IGEL Weekly. I'm your host, Andy Whiteside. I've got Chris Feeney with me, of course. Chris, how's it going?
It's going well, Andy. Always a pleasure to do these. So I'm excited about yet another topic in the world of IGEL to talk about today. Sounds like you're in a noisy place. What's going on?
I am. Yeah, I'm traveling. I'm in Dallas, and I thought I was going to be somewhere more quiet. I'm at a Starbucks at the moment. Only problem with this, I tried to walk outside where it was a little quieter. It was briefly, then only to realize I was right beside an airport and there are planes coming and going left and right. Like literally, wow. I am 200 yards away from the end of the runway. That's how close I am to a major airport. So that didn't work out. But hey, the show must go on, and you, Seb, and I jump on and we talk about some content and we make it happen every other week for the community podcast, and that's our MO, right?
There it is, man. Live and in person or in somewhere. But
we have Seb on front. Seb on from the IGEL community. Seb, how's it going?
Quite good. We had a bank holiday yesterday, so it's my first working day today. So I'm pretty fresh. I'm recharged from the weekend, so pretty good. Thank you for asking.
And you're back in the car again.
No, that case is just a virtual background. I just wanted to see if someone is looking at the background actually, but it's just a virtual background. The heating system is finished, so I'm back in my house now.
Well, I'm actually glad it's a virtual background because I don't know how tall you are, but it looked like the headrest was totally above your head. So you were like 4'2" in that picture.
That's right.
All right. So Seb always comes armed and ready to go with some content. And what he's got for us today is we're going to do two podcasts today. But the first one we're going to cover is one that's kind of near and dear to my heart because I struggle with these concepts in the world of Linux. And IGEL has worked to make it easier and doable. And that blog that we're going to review is called Automatically Connect Bluetooth Headsets and Enable HSP Mode, which I don't even know what that is, for Bidirectional Audio on IGEL OS. So, Seb, I'm going to share my screen here. Can you kind of walk us through what this blog is covering, and then we'll dive in with you and Chris into the content?
Yes, for sure. So, basically, this discussion started already, I think it was on the last Disrupt, so beginning of the year, when I just sent out these funny caps with built-in speakers and headphones, where a couple of people inside of the community mentioned that the pairing process working pretty well on Windows and on some Linux boxes, but on our ones, not that much. So they had sound, but no input possibility. And David played around with that topic, I guess not only for that purpose, but also for some tickets he had in his support job. And he found out that these headsets have usually two different kind of profiles. So let's come back, let's step backward. We expect if you connect a Bluetooth headset that you have an input, so a microphone, and an output, which is in general a speaker or a headphone. And to having both of them, you have to be bidirectional. That's pretty obvious. You have an input, you have an output, so you have bidirectional ways. And that kind of profiles are great for giving phone calls, for listening to, let's say, downsampled music like on YouTube, etc. But if you want to listen to music in a, let's say, appropriate quality, the headset mode isn't preferred. So just in case, it's the same on my Sennheiser headphones. I have a stereo one, which is only meant for listening. And I have then, we have a separate profile, which is called Momentum Free Phone, which enables then the microphone, which is terrible if you want to listen to music, in my opinion. But yeah, let's come back to the topic. And on Windows, I can switch between the different profiles inside of my Bluetooth manager. On Linux, and especially on IGEL, it's not that simple. So coming back to the main topic right now, that's what David covered in his great script or one-liner he wrote for the community. We have the ability to set inside of our Bluetooth control center and combined with our Pulse Audio Daemon, so which is more or less a sound manager on Linux, to define which kind of profiles need to be used if you connect that kind of device. So that's the long answer to a short question to a short topic. But I don't know, Chris, did you have something of that when coming from the Disrupt GIF we sent out this year?
No, but I have in the last several months, I've had a UD3. I started with that late last year, and then I went and I wanted to get a three monitor set up. So I had a UD7. Finally got the new UD7 that has the Bluetooth stuff in. So I actually am holding in my hand a set of Bluetooth headphones. And based on this article, I'm going to actually try to mess around and see if I can get them to connect to the Bluetooth component here in this UD7. I'm old school. I got plugged in headphones, so I never really have tried the wireless piece, but it looks pretty solid. Sounds like, I guess it depends on, you know, it looks like there's two profiles here. I've seen there's one to, I guess that automatically have it show up as the headset profile mode, versus A2DP mode. No mic input, I guess you want to listen, but not speak. So, this would allow you to have the best of both worlds. Is that how I'm reading this?
At least not the, unfortunately, not the best of both worlds, because then you would have the real stereo effect from the, let's say, listening mode. But you have the Bluetooth bandwidth is, I would not say pretty limited, but it's a bit limited. So you cannot go with the full codec of lossless audio, like Apple told us for some lucky owner of the last AirPods Pro and AirPods Max. You cannot go for the whole output. So you have to split a little bit between input and output, and you have to find an average value between the input and output rate. And that's more or less what this headset mode is doing. For one reason, it's the bandwidth. But the second one I forgot to mention is also the power consumption, because as soon as you get better sound to decode, the decoder needs more power to decode that signal. And that means that you will lose a little bit of your time when speaking. And by the way, I'm definitely more the wire guy too. But in that case, I made the first exception and I switched to Bluetooth headset. And honestly, you both stay on wire. It's way better. It's just my opinion. But yeah, exactly. That's what David did here. He switches two different kind of profile modes inside of this comment. So basically, you can read it this way. Bluetooth CTL is a comment to control, in general, paired devices and find the device name that you use for that. Then he's doing an AWK. That means that he is shrinking the answer to the strict device name. Then with SU user, he is switching the user from root. That's something I didn't mention, but if you are using custom application, you are working in a user context. If you are working with possession commands or on firmware customization, you're working in a root context. In that case, he stayed in the custom application, so I'm not sure if the SU user would be needed. I would have to double check, to be honest. And then after the semicolon, we have the PACTL, which is the pulse audio control, which enables you to set different profiles for your input and output devices. So everything that you're seeing here is not related to iGel. It's really related to the Linux world. So if you're using an input-output device like a headset, you are using pulse audio to, let's say, 60 to 70%. There is an alternative too. And the Bluetooth control and Blues driver are the most common drivers using for Bluetooth on the market.
And would you say this would be a profile that would work across any type of Bluetooth headset, or is it specific?
It depends from the vendor. So I guess it would work with mine, with a Sennheiser, like an example, but it might not work if you're working with a Jabra, because Jabra is mainly known for their headset mode. And I guess there the standard mode, which is predefined in the headset, in their firmware, is the headset mode. So you will not have to switch between both of them. But yes, it would make sense if you want to switch from the headset mode to the hi-fi mode to listen to music. That would be the exact opposite way that you might want to achieve there if the device is not recognized as such in the sound manager.
Gotcha. Yeah. And then in this article on the community webpage, it references the more lengthy with some screenshots in the actual Slack community. So for those listening in, you can find this article very easily on the IGIL Community Archives page, but definitely if you're not signed up to the Slack community, you should definitely do that. There is a ton of content there and you'll find references to it in lots of different places, but I just did a quick search in Slack and found the article right away. And thanks to David Sieber over in the UK who wrote this and contributed. He was, just to give a shout out, member of the year last year, I think it was. So fantastic resource. But yeah, this is great. And there's a nice little screenshot showing, you know, once you see that it's working, in this case, he's showing a JVC headset, I guess, in that particular case. I'm going to try it out. This is a, what do I got here? This is, who's the vendor? I can't, it's not on it, unfortunately. Jaybird. So I've got a Jaybird Bluetooth. I'm going to see if I can get that to connect on my UD7 and see what kind of results I get with that. So,
what is the IGIL hardware that actually does support Bluetooth in this one?
So the UD3 and the UD7, both now, there's an optional wireless Bluetooth module. So you have to order that specific SKU if you want that. But those would be the two. The UD2 does not have it. And then of course, you know, anything that's repurposed, if it's got a Bluetooth, I think anything probably in the more recent 3 to 4, maybe even 5 years back might have a Bluetooth functionality that might work here. I don't know if we've got a long list of devices that, you know, specifically say, if you want Bluetooth audio, kind of all that, then go with this. But I know at least on a couple laptops that I've repurposed, they've got a Bluetooth thing. I've connected my phone to it, for example, with IGIL for a hotspot. I haven't tried the headset. I need to mess around with that and get a sense of what works, what's not great. And maybe this will help me out.
It's a timely topic that we're covering. It's like you travel with an IGIL
enabled
laptop. Yeah. I had to get a headset for when I was traveling, hopefully in places not as much noise as this. I just got the old wired, Apple headphones. They seem to work great on everything, everywhere. But I really do want to be able to live the Bluetooth world. I just, like in this situation, the oddities of doing it with different operating systems creates a challenge for someone who may not be as technical as David is.
Yeah.
Now, he mentions here in the beginning that IGIL doesn't really have it in headset mode to start with. Is that intentional, guys, or is that something that maybe IGIL may change?
You mean having the headset mode enabled by default? Yeah, then yes. I know that from the upcoming cooperation with Sennheiser, like an example, where we will face the same issue like I do with mine. So yes, that would be definitely one thing that we are considering right now.
You know, I've got one of these. It's a USB. It's not a Bluetooth, but I've actually, let's see, this is a Logitech. It's got a, you know, microphone kind of headset, sort of similar concept. I know that when I plugged it in just messing around, I could hear, but not the microphone's not getting picked up. I wonder if this might even apply in some degree to what he's saying here. By default, IGIL is connecting a to DP mode. I'll mess around with that and see what I can find out. But yeah, I mean, it does. I know it recognizes it. It's never an issue of hearing. It's usually the microphone that's in the headset itself, getting that to work. Because I've been on Zoom calls running locally off the IGIL itself, and I've been sitting there trying to talk, and like, why is nobody listening to me?
Another situation every evening with my girlfriend. That's another topic.
That didn't take long.
You never. Went off the cliff rather quickly, right?
Guys, what else do we need to cover around Bluetooth devices and specifically headphones and audio devices? Anything else that our listeners should probably get from this podcast other than
the
great work Dave has done here?
I would definitely add one thing. If you can just scroll down a little bit, Andy, please. There is a section with a registry key mentioned in that article, which is a really cool feature that I was awaiting for a long, long time. but which is causing a lot of trouble at the moment in our support and the community. So when we speak about registry on AgileOS, we are obviously not speaking about the same registry like on Windows. The registry is what I would call the hidden part of the iceberg. So everything, every setting that you see in the graphical user interface, inside the profile, inside the Azure setup, is reflected in the registry. So the registry is to be found in your profile under System Registry. And there you see more or less every setting which is available on your endpoint on this base firmware. And there is a feature, there is a function which was introduced based on a request we made based on a big German customer, where Citrix implemented a feature which is quite similar to the Skype real-time media engine. Just saying, we're not using Skype for business anymore, but just explaining. So let's imagine you have your corded Bluetooth headset, whatever, connected to your AgileOS device. So you are locally, you tested your device locally inside of the Sound Manager. Everything is good. So you have there your webcam connected, a webcam C920, which has also an integrated microphone. You have your headset with input, output, so microphone and speaker, and you might also have speaker inside of your display or your laptop. So now you connect to Citrix, to your terminal server VDI, and you're opening not a Skype for Business application, not a Teams application, but something else. Like, I don't know, the camera application of your Windows 10 VDI or whatever. And you want there to be able to switch between different audio sources and audio inputs. So you would expect as a user to go to the sound manager, to the sound mixer of your Windows device, so on your terminal server VDI, go to your system volume and switch between your headset, between the microphone of your webcam, etc. That's not possible in general. You would just get the Citrix HDX audio, nothing more. That's something that changed with the VDCAM version 4 setup, so this registry key found under ICA.module, which enabled to use all your devices and select them on your terminal server VDI switch without having the need to install some real-time media engine connector or whatever and be bounded to only one unified communication solution, which is pretty neat because there you can define also in Windows which is a ringing device, which is the input device, which is the output device, et cetera, et cetera. And obviously do that on application base and not on system base anymore. And now coming back to our blog article, this specific feature can cause a lot of trouble. That's part of an upcoming podcast, I would say. But especially in that one, this VDCAM version 4 support mean that no Bluetooth devices would be redirected into, or let's say, used into the VDI terminal server solution. So it's a good idea to disable that, just to be sure that it's not enabled in another profile.
Yeah, and I was just looking at that setting. I know I haven't gone in and made any changes to that, but it looks like at least I'm on 11.5.133 currently, and it is already disabled. The box is unchecked. And if you look for it by a keyword, it'll show up as multiple audio device support in that particular section of the registry ICA module VDCAM version. So, but it is off apparently. Maybe there's a reason why it would be on for something else, but in this particular case, it is off by default. So, great. Well, I don't have any other. I mean, I'm going to try. Well,
I did want to bring up, you know, Seb's talking about the registry here, and I find Nigel's registry, which is really just where all the settings live in a different format, or where they live, really. The ability to do a find in the IGEL registry section under system is extremely powerful, right? If you're looking for something and you just can't figure out where the Germans put it, right? So it may not make sense to you. Just go to that registry, hit find. It's fine, right? That's the actual.
Yeah. No, there's a couple places. So on the left-hand menu, and if you're in the setup, there is the search option at the very bottom, and it is really cool. You can just type in a keyword and it'll show you not just where it is in the normal configuration menu, but also in the registry. And then if you're in the registry itself, there's that middle column, if you're familiar with what we're talking about, you click search parameter and you can do filters on that, and it'll go through and show you, you know, next every instance of something, whether it's, you know, whatever your keyword search might be. So it is a very powerful feature. Definitely, you know, get familiar with that. Like I said, if you can't find something, you think you know what it is. I mean, I know I've thought about it, was maybe this was the keyword. It turned out to be something else. And then eventually I figured out what that was, but yeah, it, like anything, everything will be in the registry. And maybe a new feature setting comes out, and then at some point it shows up in the UI as a setting you can check box or a radio button or whatever it might be. Case in point, there's a kiosk mode option for a browser right now. If you're in the Firefox settings, you see that up. If you're in Chromium, you don't. But on a hunch, I said, well, let me just check the registry. And sure enough, that setting I was looking for was there. So I just enabled it in the registry and got the kiosk configuration that I wanted with the Chromium browser. So little things like that. But definitely, if you can't find it when you're looking for, check the registry to see if it's there. But thank you, David, for putting that together.
Yeah, let's also give David credit. I mean, this is his blog. Not sure I did a good job highlighting that in the beginning, but absolutely, I know Seb brought us back to that multiple times. Seb, thanks for jumping on and going through that with us.
You're welcome. It was a pleasure, like every time.
All right, gentlemen, we'll wrap it for this time, and we'll see you next time.
All right.
Take care, guys.
Take care.